This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition, January 22nd of Invest Talk. Invest Talk is here for the average investor to help you take your skills to the next level. As they say on the sports show, anyways, how to take your skills to the next level. We want to be a source of information. Justin and I really would like to be a source of information and encouragement. And of course, this is a one-hour talk about your money. Of course, you have to hold up your end of the conversation. Not only do we welcome your questions, but I want to hear about your portfolio. What are you doing? What's in it? Stocks, bonds, ETFs? How much risk do you think you're taking, and how much risk are you actually taking? Do you know? What percentage of your retirement nest egg is in cash today? Should there be a percentage in cash? And what levers do you have access to really affect change? Do you need to make changes or adjustments? Why? Do you know why? Those are very important questions. And, you know, if you don't know the answers to them, you know, and you're trying to manage your money, you're going to have a very difficult time. Very difficult. Now, there's a consumer organization called American Association of Independent Investors, AAII, and they ask really good questions sometimes. And one of them is, does it really matter what the market did today? And the answer is, it doesn't. Especially if you don't understand, it says, and the question goes on, if you don't understand your current financial reality, does it matter what happened today if you don't understand your financial reality? Too often, everybody gets caught up the news around investing, the day-to-day news, and lose track of the basics of a solid financial foundation to live comfortably in retirement. I talked to a couple of nice ladies today about this very topic. You know, how are we going to build that foundation so that 10, 15 years from now, you're going to be able to live comfortably? How do you know? What tools can you use? And I have some good tools I share with people that kind of help you. You know, we develop what we call a retirement map to try to help you say, well, this is where you're going. This is where you're going to be. Is that where you want to be? So, you know, this is things you need to start understanding. When you get into your 50s, trust me, you're going to want to know. As you get closer and closer to an older age, like me, you're going to want to know, well, am I really financially secure? Will I really be comfortable? And we could do that. We can help you with that. I want to help you with that. The show will help you with that. We can help you with that specifically. We can help you with it by managing your money. Whatever way we can help you with, we'll do it. I like doing it. Even if you don't become a client, the ladies I spoke to today probably won't become a client. That's okay. I don't mind. Very nice ladies out of Pennsylvania. So it's the thing to do. Get a complete picture of your current situation. You can do it yourself. Grab a blank piece of paper and a pen and draw a line down the center. On one side, put your assets. Be specific. List all the assets. On the other side, list the liabilities. Be specific. And see what your net worth is. That alone is very educational. Okay, before I get too verbose, so let's get to the questions that you want to ask. Let's get to the phones. Your voice is always important in the mix of the show. Here's a call from our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. It's ready to catch your question anytime.
Steve and Justin, this is Eric from South Dakota. I listen via podcast. Say, I'm trying to understand, how do you best estimate what your annualized returns will be over the long term to know and understand how much you should be putting away into different index and mutual funds and different investments? So if you could help me understand that better, do you go off of historical returns? I know that is not a best estimate of future results, but anyway, I just would like to understand your guys' point of view from that standpoint. Thank you for the show.
Okay, well, the market on long-term averages returns 9 to 10%, and when you compound 10% on an annualized basis, that means you double your money about every 7 years. The average investor does not achieve half of that, maybe about half of that is what an average investor does, because they tend to buy at the top and sell at the bottom. So their performance statistically and by studies done over and over and over show that they cannot make the average return of a stock investment. So I would suggest you use about 7% return, and that means that in 10 years you'll double your money. Now, how much do you need? And see, that is a crucial question. How much do you think you're going to need in retirement? And the younger you are, the harder it is to know what that figure will be, by the way. But as a rule of thumb, you need to save about 10% of your salary. This is a rule of thumb. 10% of your salary, if you could do 15, that would be great. But that's a rule of thumb for you. Every year, year in, year out, invest it. Now, if you want to get more specific, what you could do is you can send me your portfolio, you know, an attachment and an email, and I'll run it through my software called Riskalyze, and I'll run a retirement map for you. I need to know what you have, how much is in your portfolio now, how much you're saving, your age, because that tells me how long you're going to save that money, and how much you think you're going to have to withdraw out of this money in retirement. And I can give you a good idea if your money will, what we call a retirement map, and it will give you a good idea of the percentage that you will or will not run out of money before you die. Okay, and it can, the software includes inflation and it based on age 90, and it does a lot of different things. You can actually put in a portfolio, come up with those numbers, and I can actually get, and it gives you a risk score. There's all kinds of things it can do, but it really will help if you want to know if you're going to run out of money. I can do that for you for free. Start the process by going to investtalk.com. Scroll down on the first page. That's investtalk.com with two T's. Go to the little blue box that says it's a risk questionnaire. Click on that and start there. Or you just give me a call. Okay, 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. Like choosing a wardrobe, when you build a portfolio, it's got to fit. Starting a portfolio from zero, from scratch, what do you do? How do you do it? That's one of our talking points today. The World Bank predicts all commodities are going to fall in 2015. What does that mean for everybody? Oh, they're predicting it. Google is to offer wireless service. Did you hear about that? Announced it today? Wireless service, not service, telephone service and data service over the airways, wireless. And finally, when does it pay to remodel and when it doesn't? We're talking about your home now. When does it pay? How much money do you get back? What should you remodel? And those are things I'm going to talk about. But, of course, your call is most important. 888-99-CHART. The market was up big today. Had a big rebound. 260 points on the Dow, 83 on the NASDAQ, and 31 on the S&P. And that means if you look at it from January 1st to today, we're flat for the month. You go back two more days in December, and we're still down. Pretty, you know, not huge, but we're still down. Because if you remember right, remember the last week in December, the market was weak. And then the first weeks of January were weak. This is the biggest day update we've had this year so far. Volatility, everybody. Get used to it. We're going to have lots of volatility, I think, this year. I think it's going to be a year of volatility. And just so you know, it's not unusual. I think we're going to have a year of volatility that maybe returns to norm, as opposed to the severe lack of volatility we've had in the last several years. That was unnormal. That wasn't norm. Now volatility is norm. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley. If you're looking for a money management solution, I invite you to take a look at our balanced income portfolio. It's designed to produce steady yield for the risk adverse. People don't like to take too much risk. You can find more about it on our website at investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Rob in Pleasanton, listening to us on Invest Talk. Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, actually, I want to find out from you about CELG. It's a biotech stock. Do you think it's a good time to enter? And how do you see that if I need to hold it for a long term, that's 3-5 years?
I think it's a really good company. This is CELG, Celgene Corporation. They develop therapies to treat cancer and immune, inflammatory, and related diseases by regulatory cells, genes, and proteins. Now, I've just said I think it's a very good company, but I think it's very expensive. I think it's too expensive right now. It's done very well in the last year, going from $70 to $123 in 1 year time. The P ratio is 35. The five-year average PE ranges from 13 to 36, and right now it's at 35. Growth rate is really nice. That's why it's expensive. The growth rate is, you know, sales is between 17 and 20% per quarter, and the earnings are going to be 369 this year, then 488 next year. So that's 30% increase. 488, the stock price looks a little bit less pricey, okay, because you take $4.88 and the stock price is $123. So you're talking about 30, 31 or so PE ratio. I didn't do the math. They don't have much debt. Management owns 1%. Mutual funds have been buyers for the last year. And of course the stock looks really good. Very solid company. Earnings growth is great. Predictability is very good. I mean, Rob, you couldn't pick a better company, okay? The company is really solid. The issue is, it's at a new 52-week high today, and it's done pretty good for this whole month. I mean, it went from 113 to 123 this month when the market's down, well, at least flat. So I think that's very good. So I would be a buyer of it on a dip, and you had the dip in October. It got down to about 85, and you had another little dip in December, but you haven't had one in January. I think I'd wait for that dip, Rob, and then buy it. Okay?
Appreciate it. Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call. That's CELG, Celgene Corporation. Very good company. You cannot argue. It's a huge company. It's a $98 billion company. It's not small. It's not well known. I don't think people know it very well, but it is not small. It's a very big company that is doing very, very well. I mean, how often do you have a $100 billion company growing sales, say 18, 20% earnings, 24 to 32%? I mean, very rare. 888-99-CHART, everybody. How do you start to build a good portfolio? How do you start a portfolio? I've had this question, by the way, numerous times. And you start with the basics. Don't, you know, most people that call me up, they say, I want to start a portfolio. I want to buy Apple Computer. I want to buy XYZ company. That's not how you start. That's not how you start. If you're going to be serious about it, what you do is you start to move into, first buy is probably an S&P 500 index fund. And you start slowly buying that fund till you get to a certain size and certain knowledge base. And then you can expand from there. Start simple. Keep it simple when you start. Don't get, you have to educate yourself. And it takes a while to do that. So start with the simplest thing, which would be buying an index fund. Okay? We'll talk more about it. We want to hear your questions. 888-99-CHART, how to reach us right now with your money topic on Invest Talk. Coming up, we'll take a question from a listener. And in the next half hour, how to pay your mortgage off quicker. How do you do that? 888-99-CHART is the number.
Our podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing to our podcast. When you become an InvestTalk Insider, you gain access to some informational extras. An example, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time to give me a call. What's on your mind? Well, World Bank predicts all commodities are going to be down for 2015. How is that common? Is that something that is nothing unusual? Well, it is kind of unusual. This is the first time in 12 years that the commodity prices, they are predicting that all commodity prices will be falling for the year. Okay? That is not a bad thing necessarily. And one of the reasons why most of the commodities are going to be down is you can start with oil. Because remember, commodity, you know, it takes power to produce commodities. And we're talking about metals and fertilizers. And almost any commodity you make, food, beverages, raw materials, almost everything takes power in one way or another. And if the power costs are going down, then the prices could be lowered on the commodity because there's a lot of competition out there. But you also have, you know, lower prices in copper and raw material in anyways. So because of lack of demand, you have an oversupply and a lack of demand. And, you know, this is very, very typical. There is a cycle that is constant over years and years. And the cycle is overproduction of commodities and underproduction of commodities. And we have been in a cycle that lasted a number of years of overproduction of commodities. Producing more and more and more because of the growth in China, okay, and growth in some of the emerging markets. Well, now that China's growth is slowing, and has for the last couple of years, the pressure on commodities is going down, and particularly on oil, because we've been we here in the United States have doubled our oil production in the last few years, and we are a big producer of oil. Don't think we are small. We are not. We are a big producer, and we've doubled it. Well, that's because oil was so expensive, $100 a barrel. So we were getting hard to reach oil. So was Canada with their oil sands. It's expensive. Well, now that we're producing all that oil, guess what happens to the price of oil? It starts to drop. Supply and demand. So we're now on the other side of the up cycle of commodities. Now we're in the down cycle. Very common. And it'll take a year or two or three to work its way out, and then we'll probably start another up cycle. Very, very common. So the World Bank is predicting lower commodity prices next year. Does that mean a downturn in economies? Well, those are countries that rely on the production of commodities to sell to other countries that are the users or the consumers of commodities. Those countries are going to suffer. The consumers of the countries that consume are going to benefit. And basically, that kind of equates to smaller countries, third world countries are going to have a harder time than the first world countries. Like the United States won't have that hard of a time. Okay, Japan won't. Japan will benefit because, you know, they have to import all their oil. They import a lot of iron ore, everything they make. They got to import the raw material, and the raw material is getting cheaper. So that might help Japan. Is that a possible opportunity there finally for Japan? Maybe. Now, you drive the discussion with your question. We're here to help. We want to help. You can reach us anytime. Whenever you have a question, 888-99-CHARGE, how you can do it.
Hi, my name's Gary. I'm calling from Massachusetts. I listen to your show by podcast, and I'd like to thank you guys for all your information and thoughts on the stock market. I think you do an excellent job. My question today is on Peabody Energy. The symbol is B as in boy, T-U. I own the stock, and I'm currently down on it, and I know there's all negative items going on in the news every day about coal. But what would you say, looking out 3 to 5 years, could you give me any kind of valuation at that point? Thank you very much. Bye.
It's very difficult. BTU is Peabody Energy, engaged in coal production, sell through 28 operations in U.S. and Australia. China uses a lot of coal, but the problem we have here is, you know, everybody hates coal because of the pollution, and China is starting to realize how dirty their cities are, and they're eventually going to move away from coal as well. So the future prospects are not bright, and this stock, of course, has gone from $20 a year ago now to $6, but in 2008, this stock was at $88. Okay, so now it's $6, and you're going to say, well, at some point, it's awful cheap. No, you don't equate cheapness with the price of a stock. Equate cheapness compared to the earnings. Okay, so because when it was at $88 a share, they were making $3.60 a share. When the price was $88, they were making a lot of money. What are they going to make this year? $0.62 a share. They're going to lose $0.62 a share. Lose it. Now, that's less of a loss than 2014. So maybe they're getting close to a bottom here, but it's a super high-risk stock that I wouldn't buy because it's just too much negative publicity about coal worldwide. I'd probably stay away from it myself. I'd sell it. Have you tried our free risk analysis tool? It's easy. It's really easy to use. It takes less than 5 minutes, and it'll give you a great insight into how much risk you feel comfortable taking with your savings and invest dollars. It gives you a score from 0 to 99, 0 being no risk, 99 being higher risk. To use the free tool, just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to the blue box labeled Free Risk Analysis. And we started the show off with, and our first talking point was how to start a portfolio. And I said that you need to start simple and maybe buy an index fund. And you could do that through either a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund. And I mentioned the S&P 500 as a good starting point. And you just keep doing that to get to a point where you can start to expand on that idea. Because the S&P 500 is the 500 largest companies, but there's other index and other parts of the market will become attractive. While you're investing in the S&P 500, you're going to educate yourself on how the market works, what are mutual funds, what are ETFs, what is the economic cycle. And then you can start, spreading out and buying other types of maybe a small cap index. I'm still going to tell you to keep index. And you're going to do this for several years, not weeks, not months, years, okay? Maybe 5, 10 years. And then you start learning how these mutual funds work and the ETFs work. And then you start moving into stocks. How do they work? Because when you start buying stocks, you don't buy one, you don't buy two. You're going to buy 10 to 15 stocks to get good diversification in different sectors. So you start small, develop it, grow it, get bigger, bigger, bigger. And as time goes by, you start to understand how the whole market works. And then you start, during that period, you're going to learn how to manage risk. What is risk all about? What kind of risks are there involved? And you'll learn simply by the movement of the indexes and the economy how things are intertwined over that time. It's a process. I'm still learning. I've been doing it for years and years and years and years and years and years. Still learning. It's a never-ending process. It's one of the reasons why I like it so much. You learn stuff, new stuff all the time. Okay? So that's how you start with the portfolio. Keep it simple. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you read what Google's doing? We're going to talk about there in a minute. But first, let's get back to the Q&A portion of the program. The anytime number is always the same, 888-99-CHART. You can call and ask your question. David called from Brentwood with this question.
I have a question. I just heard you talk about a P.E. range that you look at for a company, a five-year range that it's traded between two values. But where do you find that? Is that something that can be found on some of the internet sites like Yahoo or MarketWatch? I just haven't noticed that, but that sounds like an interesting thing to track. And if you could point me a good source to find that, that'd be good. Thanks. Bye.
I could give you a good source to find it, but you have to pay for it. It is available on the web. It's just, where? It's very difficult to find. I might suggest that you go to finviz.com, finviz.com, F-I-N-W-I-Z, I think it is, or F-I-N-V-I-Z.com, F-I-N-V-I-Z, or F-I-N-W-I-Z. I'm not sure which one. I think it's V-I-Z.com. They have a lot of information, but I don't know if they have the five-year P/E range. Well, I buy it. And one of the simplest and easiest places I buy it from is from MarketSmith, okay, that I download their software and get it from them. But, you may not want to spend that kind of money because they have a lot more information. That's just one of the pieces of data that they have. So I also think it's a good source of, the five-year PE range. It's a good thing to look at. It's not the only thing to look at. As a matter of fact, it's only one of many, many things to look at. But yeah, I do like looking at it, and I do like talking about it, and show it to you, talk about it on the show here. Now, just a couple of days left to get in on the early bird discount for our February 7th Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. You get $10 off if you register by January 24th. The fee normally is $45 per person, and it's going to be $35 if you sign up now. And why I do this is so I can get a handle on how many people are going to come so I can get the food and the seating set up. It's part of the reason why I do that. The conference is about the upside of lower oil prices at February 7th at the Hyatt House in San Jose. So you can sign up. It's easy. And go to investtalk.com. And if you do it by this Saturday, you can save $10.
When you become an InvestTalk insider, you gain access to some informational extras like a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if you're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com.
Hi, this is Tim from Texas. I was calling to ask about Eaton Corporation, ETN. I own some, and I was wondering what you thought of it. Now I listen on podcasts. Thanks.
Eaton Corporation, E-T-N, is the symbol. And they provide electric power and control equipment, hydraulic systems, truck, drivetrain, and aerospace pneumatic systems. Okay? An industrial company. And really, you realize their headquarters is in Ireland? That's where their headquarters is at. ETN, they're going to make $4.61 in their 2014 year. It still hasn't finished, but it will be shortly. And they're estimated for 2015, $4.98. Earnings are going, that means earnings are going up 8 to 10% per year. Sales have slowed way down the last three quarters, but they're still going 2 to 3%. The three quarters before that, they were growing 20 to 30% or more. So they've slowed down just in recent quarters. So how pricey is it? Is it overpriced? It is a $32 billion company, so it's big. It pays a 2.9% dividend, and the current PE is 17. So it's a $67 stock, going to make almost $5 a share. So that's about a 15 PE based on forward-looking earnings. And that is not out of line. The five-year average is 8 to 22. It's not cheap, but it's not out of line. So it has fallen back in October, was down to about $58 a share, popped up to almost 69, fell back down to 62, and today it's 67 in the last two or three months. So it's kind of moving sideways now. And it looks like this is a very good support. As long as our economy keeps turning out, this might be a good place to pick it up. Because I would wonder why their sales growth is weakening. And that means maybe they're selling a lot in Europe and that economy is weakening. Because this kind of company is really attached to the economic cycle. And if the economic cycle gets weaker in Europe and they do a lot of sales there, remember, it's an Irish company, that would be a concern, and the price will continue to fall because earnings will go down. So, try to get a good idea. You got to do more research than just what I'm saying on the radio is what I'm saying. Good company, though. Good, solid company. They made money forever. In the recession, they continued to make money. They made less money, but they never lost money. Never. Eaton Corporation, ETN. It's time for InvestTalk Personal, about the day-to-day experiences that can have a lasting impact on your financial health. Here's how to pay your mortgage off in half the time. What you do, of course, is pay more each month. It's not rocket science. You've got to pay more each month on the mortgage. If you have a 30-year fix or a 15-year fix, you want to pay it off, you've got to do certain things. First, you might want to get an amortization schedule from your lender. That is a schedule of each payment and how much of that payment goes to the principal and how much is interest. And it's a schedule for the whole life of the loan. First, you do that. Then, when you make your payment, write two checks. One for the regular monthly mortgage, and one, I did this personally, by the way, for 10 years. and another check for the additional amount you want to go directly to the principal. And what you do is you make sure you write a note on that second check that this is extra principal payment for the month of whatever month it is. Okay? Be sure you make copies for your record, by the way, because the bank, you know, may not do it. This is something out of the norm for them. They're just processing checks. So you got to make sure they apply that extra check to the loan. Yeah, you say, well, isn't that obvious? No, not to them. And they might miss it. You have to keep track. That's why you want that amortization schedule. Okay, and you want to get that every so often to see how that your loan has been recast by all these principal payments that you're making. And that will it will work. I had the loan, my 30-year fix paid off in 10 years by doing it this way. And I figured out how much more I had to pay. And boy, don't trust me, it was very painful to pay that extra money every year, especially the first few years. It was very painful because I didn't have that much extra money. But it works. It works very well. Another thought, if you have cash that you're keeping out of the market and it's not from an IRA account, think about paying down the mortgage with that cash. You can do that. Now, is there a money topic you want to know more about? Go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Steve, and tell me about it.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium Newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com today.
So Google announced this morning that they're going to start offering wireless service, wireless telephone and data service. And they're going to run it on the Sprint and T-Mobile networks. Now, you remember Google already is expanding into TV broadcasting. They were testing, I think it was in Texas, over fiber optic cables. And they continue to broaden away from their traditional core business, which is, you know, it's Google. We all know what their traditional core business was. Remember, they started off as a website advertiser, okay, a search engine, and they pushed advertising on the search. Then, of course, it came along with the Google phone, which became very, very successful. And it's really Google software in a phone. And again, that was to push advertisement. Then they're thinking about cable TV, and that's still pretty small. I'm not sure if they're going to roll it out nationwide someday. And now they're going into they're moving into wireless services. Now, not just telephone, but data. All this drives their fundamental business of advertising over the internet. So it's kind of interesting. There's an argument that you can't become everything. But so far, Google's been very successful at moving into these other areas. They will stumble someday. All companies do. But yeah, at this time, they look pretty good. Our podcast listeners from all over the world download our program. So for these long-distance listeners who listen to us on their own schedule, we have a 24-hour listener line, and you can always call. It's always open, 888-99-CHART. This is Steve from Oceanside.
I have two questions. One is the difference between an ETF and a closed-end fund. Are they different, or are they basically synonymous? And the other question has to do with, could you clarify what is a covered call? Thank you. Bye.
I can do that. First of all, ETFs and a closed-end fund, they can be synonymous because there's ETFs and what we call ETNs, and most ETFs are what we call open-end. The term closed-end means there's a finite number of shares, and open-end means there's an infinite number of shares in the ETF or ETN. And when you say infinite, all that means is that the ETF or ETN trades at the net asset value of the holdings inside. Where if there's a finite number of shares, you have an additional supply and demand dynamics on the price of the ETF. Because if you only have a million shares and 2 million people want to buy it, and you can't, you know, a million more people want to buy it, well, they have to pay up for it. You know, I'll sell it to you, but I want 10% premium to whatever the holdings are worth, the net asset value, the underlying. The same is true if no one wants to buy it and they can drive the price down. So if it's closed and opened in. A covered call, the word, when you hear the word covered, talking about options, and a covered call is very, very common, that means you own the underlying equity that you're selling an option on, or you're buying an option on. You want to buy more of it, or you want to sell option on it so to someone else to either call it away from you, or you get to put it to them. I'm not going to get into all these terms. But when you hear the word covered, that means you own the underlying equity that the option is being offered on. You own it. Okay? Naked call means you don't own it. Okay? That's what that means. Many times you use options, people use it as quote-unquote insurance, and they'll sell options on it. And if the price of the, they own the covered, cover, they own it. And so if what they can do is protect themselves from a downstroke of the price by sell, but they still want to hold it, but they want to make money all while they're holding it, and they sell options on it. But if it drops to a certain price, they get to put it to somebody at a certain price. Kind of interesting, huh? So when does it pay? I don't have a lot of time, but when does it pay to remodel? When doesn't? Most times you think about kitchens and baths. And just so you know, you don't recover all of it. You get about 68% on average return on the cost of the remodel. Okay? So and what are the best places to you get more for than 68%? San Jose is one of them. San Francisco, Riverside, and those are in California. Honolulu, River, Sarasota, Texas, Sarasota, Florida, Austin, Texas, and New Orleans. Those are the top areas where you get more for the remodel. Invest Talk, we got to go. We're out of time. That's not a good thing. This is Invest Talk. We'll be right back.
We're happy to say that thousands click on our podcast every weekday, and because you listen regularly, we think you should have a say in the topics that are discussed. So please, if there's an aspect of investing you'd like to hear more about, just tell us, check in to our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART, or if you'd like to send a note directly to Steve, you can do that by going to investtalk.com and just click Contact Steve or Contact Justin.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, you know, our U.S. budget has been falling. I mean, our budget deficit, has been falling the last several years because the economy is doing well and tax dollars are coming in, especially corporate tax dollars. And that's going to change. That's probably this year we're going to see maybe a little more or a little less, but we're starting to change that scenario because you know how the government works. They put off the big spending out in the future so they can convince everybody and that this is the rules and regulations we should enforce now, and the cost is always later. And we've seen that with Social Security and everything else. I just want to warn you that the budget surpluses are probably going to go down. We're not going to have the surpluses. Therefore, deficits are probably going to start rising. So just be aware of that. I don't think it's going to have any impact on the stock market. I don't. And I don't think, because we have gridlock in Washington, that's actually going to be good for the stock market. Because the stock market likes certainty. And when you have a gridlock in Washington, nothing happens. So there's not going to be any new big rules or changes to drive up or down any major sectors or industries. Drive income or take away income. So nothing, it's just going to be status quo. So the market kind of likes that because it's more predictable. Earnings are more predictable. And, of course, just so you know, and we've said it before, stock prices is all about the earnings and the possibility of growing or shrinking their earnings in the future. That drives stock prices. Now, let's answer one more question before we're done for the hour. 888-99-CHARGE, how you can reach us anytime.
This is Phil from Oklahoma City. I listen by podcast. I'd like your opinion on PowerShare Senior Loan, symbol Boy Kitchen Larry Nancy, BKLN. Thanks.
BKLN, PowerShare Senior Loan Portfolio. Let's see, BKLN. Let's take a look at the fundamentals here. It's exchange-traded fund performing corresponding to the Standard & Poor's U.S. Leveraged Loan 100 Index, PowerShares. So it's the home loan. It looks like performance to the Standard & Poor's Leveraged Loan 100 Index. So you got to, first of all, what is that? That index follows what? Obviously loans, and what you buy this for is because of the dividend, 4.1%. But if you look at it, BKLN, it's been falling since last July in price, $24 down to $23.97. See how small that movement is? Because it's very steady. It's been falling, but slowly, slowly, slowly over that period of time. So find out, because I don't know. I'm not familiar with this index. You've got to find out what that Leveraged Loan 100 Index, the S&P, Leveraged Loan, U.S. Leveraged Loan 100 Index does. Does it follow mortgages? Does it follow corporate bonds? What does it do? And when they have the word leveraged in there, that means they're usually taking a bit more higher risk. What are you leveraging? How are you leveraging it? Those are things you got to really look into. Find out how it works. Don't just buy it because you see 4.1% dividend yield and it's a pretty steady stock or ETF that doesn't go down or up very much. Don't do that. What would happen if interest rates rose? What would happen if interest rates fell? What would it do to this? You know, you need to understand that. I don't really know because I'm not familiar with it. BKLN, everybody. BKLN. That's the symbol. So Starbucks had earnings after hours tonight. Did you see that? The earnings were much better than they expected. You know, we are in the middle of earnings season, and the numbers are coming out kind of mixed. Nothing great, nothing bad. You know, just kind of mixed, and the market is kind of reflecting that. And why did the market rally so much today? Probably because of the QE coming out of the ECB, European Central Bank. It was officially announced today how much they're going to spend. I don't know if that should have rallied the market or not, but we'll see. Before we close for the hour, remember, you can sign up now for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference on February 7th. If you do that by January 24th, we'll give you a 10% discount off the fee. Just go to investtalk.com. Did I say 10%? It's $10. I'm sorry. $10 off the fee, from $45 to $35. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today. I hope you will be with us again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.